"Glitter is the devil's spice," she yowled at me before she moderately tossed me back my top hat and star-jumped off the uppermost section of St. Paul's Cathedral. Her timing was impeccable as the two Catherine wheels nailed into her eye sockets swiftly rotated, making her look like a silly bitch with fireworks in her face. "They'll never find my body," I heard her declare during her descent to the ground beneath us. She tried to run away, but it was too late for that now. Her frame, which at first looked quite like a woman, now gave off the appearance of a carcass in a rosy puddle. I peered down to the lady splash on the pavement and put my hand over my mouth to prevent repeating that day's belly meal, which just so happened to be dirty rainwater that I had sipped from a baboon's glove. I forced myself to think of something that wouldn't make me vomit. "I know," I thought. "Maths." I zipped up my fanny pack tight and dared a mountain wolf to spin me a nice safe web in which to use as a helicopter and warrant a safe voyage to the asphalt. I stood over Miriam's stiff slop and took out my notepad, writing an insufficient message. My shopping list happened upon the same page, and now, as well as couscous, lye cheese and bovine mammary drivel, I had successfully added dud pinwheels and pints of blood to the sheet. A cocktail waiter zombied his way over to the mess and peered down at Miriam in her pulped slump. He was particularly distraught at the revelation of negative gravity after effects, and his eyes dribbled. I could hear his lower lip palpitations and accelerated my support concerns. "Don't worry," I whispered to his right leg, doing my best Edith Piaf impersonation. "This is only a cartoon." "Only a cartoon," said the cocktail waiter, during which time I'd flagged down a taxi and was sat on the driver's knee looking at the objects that I'd procured from Miriam's wallet. I was very interested by my findings. There was a pipe, a piece of green chalk, some shoelaces, a Bible, a little book of thunks, a subscription, two tins of peaches, salmon, dollhouse miniatures, dusk, Linda Mavin, a bottle 4 shillings, a damp wig, some frost, a game of snap, burger, wand, the Statue of Liberty, Brian Davis, a wrap of speed, temporary tattoos, two tickets to paradise, a tooth wrapped in velvet, audition tapes for a popular Dutch television series, clothing pegs, cotton wool, half a stick of celery, a knob of butter, a map of the knobs in Kentucky, a doorknob, a knob, 474 needles, a last of the summer wine colouring book, mumps, three pairs of girl socks, a diving board, a steering wheel, a Gilbert and Sullivan manuscript missing 15 pages, chewing gum, a life support machine, an ironing board, cheap imitation Warner Brothers slippers, an open box of Gaviscon, Greg Evigan star of My Two Dads, a torch, the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, a lava lamp under milk wood, 50 dead ladybirds, a cheap rice felt, gunpowder, cheap perfume, ivory, 9,000 pregnancy tests, two turtle doves, Pat Sharp's diary, a marble, a rabbit's foot, juniper berries, a kiln, lemon mousse, a jar of sweat, moon dust, dank, a Scottish maths book, a nipple, some keys, wooden hammers, gunge, human saliva, the Great Gatsby, a telescope, and a pair of tits. "Could you get off my knee, please?" said the taxi driver. "I can't see a thing." I noticed that he had a tiny spot of glitter on the tip of his nose, but I chose not to tell him. 7 months later, I found out that that particular taxi driver had passed away after a very long and painful battle with a bear. I wonder if he would still be with us if I'd have told him. Hindsight is a wonderful thing, or so they say. My name's Martin Wormsley, and I went to sleep in a burning house.